Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, it's the build-up show. Liverpool taking on Bournemouth, 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, and the perfect chance for us to reuse the old notion to get back on the horse, just get back to winning ways again and make us all feel happy. Chris Pajak, first and foremost, you've been talking all morning about how Bournemouth's a great opportunity to go and absolutely leather the team. I think first and foremost we'll talk about that, but I think for all of our mental health, it would be nice if Liverpool could just go back to winning again, because life is just so much more bearable when we won every week.
It was. When we're unbearable, life is bearable, isn't it, I suppose. And look, you know, we're in a blip at the moment. I don't think anyone's trying to deny that, are we? You know, we've had three defeats in four. There's different reasons for each of them, but we're not playing very well is the main reason. And, you know, whether that be down to the side that's been picked or the lads are tired or they're struggling getting back into a rhythm after the winter break or
the
whatever
Buvac
it is.
Is gone.
Or the Buvac is gone, exactly.
So someone didn't get that joke from the last show and kicked off in the subscribers group on Facebook.
Really?
About, what are people kicking off about Buvac for? He's gone. He's not able to deliver, you know, the blah, blah, blah. I was like, no. It was a joke on a show from Chris. It's fine. And for Kieran as well. It's not his fault either.
Critchley's gone though, so might be his fault now.
Well, there you go. That's why, you know, Klopp was stood there with a big smile on his face at the end of the game, showing Neil Critchley how to get knocked out of the FA Cup, wasn't he?
Yeah, this is
how you fucking do it, dickhead.
Tried so hard for ages to get knocked out of that cup competition. You have to put Virgil van Dijk in this time.
I'll have to manage this game myself. God damn it, can't even trust my lieutenant to lose properly, exactly, you know what I mean?
Or wrong.
Yeah. I think Liverpool fans at the moment need a win. I think I think more importantly, the team needs a win right now. I think, yeah. You know, with Atletico's the big one looming, isn't it? And you don't want to go into that after maybe a draw or another defeat at the weekend, especially against the Bournemouth side. You've been ravaged by injuries thus far this season, and who haven't had the best season by their own standards. So for me, it's just about getting on and getting back to what we do well. And that, first and foremost, is overpowering and overworking teams. Because that's what we didn't see enough of, I think, in the Chelsea game.
I wonder whether this is the time that we've talked a lot this season, how Liverpool have... We've approached games differently. I think we've been... I think we're quite conservative in how we've played football this season. You know, the long gone are the days where we come out and we just, you know, we're blitzing teams. We haven't had too many of those.
No, I think for a long time our strategy was, you know, let's just get this win, and you know, and that was the aim. And the trouble with that was that it sort of became almost a burden in itself, because even before the winter break, we weren't playing well.
Yeah.
We were getting 1-0 wins. We were, you know, getting the 2-1 win. We were getting very late goals. Yeah. We never looked convincing, but we were still winning. And everyone was saying, well, that's all you want, isn't it? It doesn't matter. But I think, you know, finally we came up against a team in Watford. And let's not forget, we have actually only lost one game in the league.
Yeah.
You know, we came up against them, you know, and they were red hot. And we just couldn't live with it.
I think it speaks to the quality of the league, Chris, when, you know, you lose, you know, absolutely. Watford are good enough to beat the best team.
Well, they played very well in Anfield, didn't they, not that long ago.
It was Pearson's first game, that one.
Yeah. And that was another one of those games where we scraped over the line, you know.
I think what, you know, for me, the one of the biggest concerns is game state. And I think it's not something I've ever spoken about on the shows before, but Liverpool have become very accustomed to being in the lead. Yeah. And we saw it against Chelsea in the FA Cup, that when we were two goals behind, we left big holes behind us. And that's because we're pushing on and we're trying to get something, and we weren't actually creating much either. But we're not used to being in that position. Yes, we've been behind in games, but it hasn't been for long. And yes, we've got late wins. But for probably 30 games this season, we've scored first, yeah, and we've been able to play the game at our own pace. And
we don't lose our discipline, do we?
Exactly. It's completely different when you concede and you're playing in a different way, and especially when you're playing away against a good side like Chelsea. So for me, it's about getting a goal up and being able to express ourselves how we normally do.
Yeah.
So the game state's important. We don't want to fall behind and start having to chase things all the time, because it's unsustainable over a long period of time.
I think it goes to you. So I think to slightly counter that, I think we've had plenty of opportunities, plenty of games where we've been down and we've come back and we've done it. But I think we're facing more and more, and Chelsea actually isn't an example of this, but we're facing teams now who are just doubling down on defensive. They're going, if they were playing defensive, they're now going ultra defensive. And if we've become so much better at being a side that's in possession of the ball and breaking teams down. But I think we've reached the limit where that's stopped. We need to find more. We need to be better. We need to be more attacking, and we haven't quite found that balance. Mainly because in losing Henderson, we've kind of been forced to try and be a bit more. We've had to put slightly more attacking players on the pitch, and I don't think we've quite found the balance in what we do at the moment. There's something more, and that's why I say I think Jack goes back to this taking the handbrake thing off. I think we need to start getting back to how we were a couple of seasons ago. Try and get a game won in half an hour. Do what City do, because this is the time of the season now where fatigue can't be an issue anymore. The end is in sight. What are we can't be saving ourselves for anything at this point. You need to go out there and get into the habits, because there's a lot of confidence in goals. There's a lot of confidence, you know, like in the scoring them and what you get off the back of them. And going into Atletico, a notoriously defensive, hard to beat side, having had another game where we've not scored, I don't think that's good for us in that situation. Whereas I think it boils down to it, we could really do with just battering Bournemouth. Yeah,
absolutely. I think recently we've taken our foot off the gas a bit. I think with this Liverpool side, it's as fans we were looking at it as, you know, whatever happens, we might not have to play as good. We'll come up with a way to win. There'll be something. We'll get something. We'll find a winner. I think the players got a bit of that as well.
Yeah.
And I think they took their foot off the gas. They didn't try as hard as they could. And I think this is the game going into Bournemouth now where we need to just go, you know what, Atleti are watching. Let's blow these away. Sweep these aside and say to Atleti.
What worries me is that, and we've said this on the show in the past, we were creating loads and loads of chances in games and not taking them.
Yeah.
West Ham.
What's worrying now is that we're drying up. The chances are drying up. Yeah. I mean, against Chelsea, chances very early on in the game. And then after that.
Do we have a shot on target in the second half?
Not sure we do.
Go on.
I was going to say, look then at Atleti's, obviously, results the last few games. I know they're due to Espanyol last weekend. They've got Sevilla this weekend. So, you know, if we were to go and blow Bournemouth away and have a good atmosphere at Anfield, obviously, to then say to them, come on, you're next.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, that's exactly what
we need. If I was Klopp, I'd be going into this game and I'd be saying to them right before the game, you don't perform in this game, you ain't playing against Atletico.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I don't care who you are. If you're Mo Salah or you're Sadio Mane, and I would be lying through my teeth, by the way, at this point, but that's what
you'd
I would
be taking
Virgil
to one side.
Virgil, especially.
That's what I would be preaching to them.
I want to talk about these opportunities, because I think the Jordan Henderson absence is really interesting, but I will pick up on that and the players who've maybe not necessarily stepped up to the mantle in his absence in a second. But first, it's time for the Football Index updates. Okay then, it's time for the Football Index update. If you're not up to date with what we've been going through so far,
They have challenged me to build a portfolio using £1,000. The proceeds that we generate from our portfolio of players on the index will go to a charity of our choice. We have Mohamed Salah, Neymar, Kai Havertz, Curtis Jones, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Joe Gomez in there. Things were going splendidly. We had a bad week and then it kind of ticked back up again, and I don't think Liverpool get knocked out. The FA Cup and Liverpool losing three of the last four games has particularly strengthened our case, Eddie. So we're in a situation where we're down on Salah at the moment. He was brought in for £4.12. He's now valued at £3.78. We're going to keep Salah. We're going to ride this out. We're definitely riding it out with Salah. Neymar, I want rid of. I want rid of Neymar. I've been blaming you for this for weeks. We put a poll out. We've used your opinion. It's gone wrong. But look, Neymar, he's down 44p per share at the moment, which leaves us down 5.28 on that. He's going to come back up again. It's Neymar. I'm going to hold on to him for a little bit longer. But Kai Havertz, who we're up on, Curtis Jones, we are miles up on. We're 27.84 up overall on 48 shares in Curtis Jones. Trent down, that'll come back round again. He was one of our biggest performers. He's had a little bit of a slump. I think we know that on the pitch as well, but he'll come back around. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, who was down, came back up and slipped back down again. I think he'll rise again, and Gomez is okay. What I'm going to do, we need to take decisive action on all this. So I think it's time to get involved, to really get a grip of the portfolio. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on Curtis Jones, because he'll have his day. I think over the course of his career, he will go up. But for the sake of this, I can't see that he's going to get the game time now in the next couple of weeks for his case to get any better, for his rankings to get back higher. So what we're going to do is we're going to sell all 48 shares in Curtis Jones right now. Instant sell of 116.16. So let's do that. Let's confirm that. Brilliant. So we've got rid of Curtis Jones. Thank you very much, Kurt. You've been an absolute superstar of the portfolio. And I'm going to do the same with Kai Havertz as well. Although, once again, I think he's a player on the up. Right here, right now, let's focus on the wins that we've got, and let's bring that in and let's apportion that out elsewhere. So we're going to move Kai Havertz on as well. From that, I have an instant sell of 103.44. Great. Let's close that. And then what I'm going to do is I'm taking decisive action. Once again, I'm going to bring in Timo Werner. I've been talking about this for a long time, but we're going to bring him in. It's a little bit, is it a little bit risky? Let's see. I want to bring in, we're going to spend about a total of 100 on him. 101.08, which gives us 19 shares in Timo Werner. So let's do that. He's been flying this season. I want to be all aboard the Timo Werner hype train. Right, that's great. Let's just have a quick look then. And as you can see, over the last 3 months, he's been on the up and up and up. Even in the last 7 days, he's plateaued a touch, but you can see that he's in a strong position. I believe in Timo Werner, and he's been generating media mentions as well, which is a big part of this. We can see articles from The Express, The Metro, The Mirror, and The Daily Star, etc. So he is garnering a little bit of interest, and he's helping that because he's been talking about Jurgen Klopp a lot. I'm all in on that. But we've got a bit in the balance there. There's still 216.76 to play with at the moment. We need at least one more, maybe two more players to add in. Leave them suggestions coming in the comments section underneath, and check back next week for more Football Index updates. And yeah, make sure that you get involved with Football Index. Make sure you head over to their YouTube channel to see more info on how to get involved, some tips and tricks, and I'll see you soon. Yeah, get involved, head over to the Football Index YouTube channel to find out more about all of that. Yeah, Chris, you know, we kind of started to hint at it there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb.
Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's players who need to step up all over the park. I think absolutely the most. If they want to go and get the title won, then they need to go and get the title won. I wonder whether there's been a little bit of this thing. If you've got a lead in a race and you're knackered and you can see the finish line, what's the point in sprinting for the finish line? You're going to get there anyway. You're still going to win. They've got a guard against that.
What if it's cars one or two where his wheel pops?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And he's ended up running with a wheel on.
But no, we've talked about this before. We're in danger of that. If Liverpool don't win, that's what it'll be. Whether it is or not, that's the narrative and the outside perception that they're going to have to start fighting against, and that's a mindset they're going to have to get out of. I think it's never been more clear than in midfield. Jordan Henderson got injured, and the first thing I said at the time was, okay, well, now there's a big opportunity for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, for Naby Keita, for Lallana, whomever, for Fabinho to come back in and, you know, prove that they deserve to be in that team. Prove that, look, they're all players that we've brought in, for big money, all since Jordan Henderson. If Jordan Henderson's not meant to be all this, then they should be able to come in. And not one single one of those players has performed anywhere near to the level of Jordan Henderson.
No, they haven't. And, you know, right, I think, listen, there's a few parts to this answer, so you might have to bear with me on this. I think that part of Klopp's plan for this few weeks was to get Naby Keita up and running.
Yeah.
And I think that Naby Keita was hopefully the key master, the guy to unlock Atletico Madrid and help us score goals against them. And I think it's actually been thrown up in the air with that little hip injury for him, and obviously Henderson's a huge loss and stuff. So for me, I think you have to start Fabinho against Atletico, and you have to start Gini Wijnaldum, and then there's one space up for grabs. And right now, it's got to be Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. There's no other option in there. I think the best midfield that Liverpool have this season, right now on form, if everyone was fit, is Henderson in the six with Wijnaldum and either Ox or Keita.
I think we're at a point now where, whether it's too soon for him, because obviously he only came off the bench against Chelsea, but you need James Milner. You know, that comfort in possession, the experience, the cool head, the gnarl, snarl, we mentioned it on the final word, I think on Monday, about how someone who's in the referee's ear all the time in football matches kind of thing.
Klopp's got lots of form in playing that as a midfield. Mm-hmm. You know, Henderson, Wijnaldum, Milner. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Henderson's not there, so Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Milner. That wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, you know. But we've got to unlock Atleti, and that for me means Oxlade-Chamberlain.
But bearing in mind that we've still got Bournemouth to get through before
this is actually the Bournemouth build-up show.
Yeah, this is the Bournemouth build-up.
But it is intrinsically linked, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's good. But that's the point, is that what I'm saying with the Milner stuff is that he's not played a lot of football, so he needs to play football to get up to speed. But if you play him for 90 minutes, can you then play him against Atletico in the midweek? But I don't think you can then have him come off that substitute appearance against Chelsea and chuck him into the midfield against Atletico next week. So the issue is that
give him half an hour.
But there's one last chance, Jack. This is the game. This is Bournemouth game. Chris is right. There's one slot available in that midfield. Two if Fabinho continues to play like he's been playing the last couple of weeks. We've got a wealth of choices. Keita is probably going to be back. Lallana will be there. Milner will be there. Oxlade-Chamberlain will be there. And all of these lads will want to go. But Is it a case of Milner deserves it? Because everyone else has had it and fucked it. So do you just give it to Milner?
I wouldn't be surprised if Milner starts at left back on Saturday.
Okay.
Personally, I think. We've seen over the last few couple of years that actually when we rest Alexander Arnold one game, tends to be Robertson the next.
Right.
And obviously, last few weeks, Klopp's mentioned about Robertson obviously playing through his injury and whatnot. And I can just see against Bournemouth just giving Robbo a rest and putting Milner at left back for that game, I think.
Yeah, that'll be a good call.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's might be what happens. I personally think we'll go with the midfield of Wijnaldum, Keita and Ox. That's what I'd do against Bournemouth.
I'd be interested.
You know what, Paul? I'm thinking 4-2-3-1, mate.
Of course you are. Chris has been banging that drum for 5 years now.
But can I give you the reasons why?
Go on, go for it.
Because Fabinho's playing dog shit football at the moment and needs support.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's why I'd do it now.
I wondered
why they didn't drop someone else in beside him last night, to be honest.
So you play Fabinho and whoever you want next year. Wijnaldum, maybe play the Milner at left back. And just go, all right, Minamino, have another run out in the nine and Firmino in the 10. And I think that might give you the better opportunity. And you're probably getting, you're thinking about what Atletico are going to do against you. And you are having an extra forward, as it were, maybe beneficial to us.
Could well be. Go on, Jeff.
I like the 4-2-3-1. And if we're getting Werner, if we are getting Werner in next season as well, that's what I think we'll play next season too. So I think that will make sense. I think maybe it's a fear of Klopp that obviously the 4-3-3 has worked this season, so why change now? That sort of thing.
The problem with 4-2-3-1 eternally is that it's the new 4-4-2. And by that I mean it's the formation everyone plays. Mm. And it's
But you get a window of opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's...
Whereby the team's not expecting it. So maybe you don't do it against Bournemouth. Maybe you just do it against Atletico.
I think it's useful. But I think 4-2-3-1 is Liverpool's grind out a 1-0 win formation. Because we saw it in that spell last season where we put Salah centre-forward.
Mm.
We dogged loads of results in the build-up to the festive period and what have you. I think that's that for us. I don't think 4-2-3-1 is Liverpool unleashed. I think it's Liverpool. It's pragmatic Liverpool more than anything else. I'm not saying you're wrong.
But the point is, we've never had
Minamino, Firmino as options.
When Firmino's in as poor form as he is, pragmatism's not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, I agree. But I can't see us wanting to be pragmatic against Bournemouth, though.
No. And that's why I think the Wijnaldum shout's interesting. I don't think he'll do it. I think he's going to keep playing Firmino until he's in form or die.
And he should do.
And he should.
I think he needs to get a run at another game before Atletico.
But as I've been saying, now banging this drum, you don't need Fabinho at home against Bournemouth. You need like, I mean, maybe it's fine because it's not like Bournemouth are going to come and defend for their lives. They've still got a style of play that should hopefully lead it to be a reasonably open game. It's not like they're going to come and put 11 men behind the ball or what have you. Which is the games where you definitely don't need Fabinho, when you do need someone who can just drive the play forward a bit. So. It depends. It's whether there's anything to be learned from putting, is there anything to be gained from having Gini Wijnaldum in the six? Is it giving Fabinho a little bit of a kick? You put loads of minutes into his legs, let him have a weekend off so that he's at least mentally and physically fresh for Atletico.
I think it can be, because if you put Wijnaldum in the six there, if Fabinho obviously then starts against Madrid and it doesn't work, at half-time it's 0-0 or whatever, then you can always say Wijnaldum in the six, we'll go more attacking, bring on, whether it's Ox or Keita that doesn't start, bring on them and then do it that way. And you've seen that against Bournemouth there. And if we're desperate for a goal, then I think that's the way we should go for it.
The thing we need to look at it, though, because I think Klopp will prioritise that Champions League to the best of his ability.
Mm.
But we were saying this on the final word from the Chelsea game, is that the league is his priority. And, what's the best team that we can put out to beat Bournemouth? Because you just don't want to end up in that situation, Chris, where we're spiralling. Because it slips away from you very easy. Now, it's got to slip a bloody long way for us to not win the league. But you lose the mentality. You've got to bring... You're fighting to keep the players on side if the league starts to... get away, because you don't want footballers are superstitious people and all that kind of stuff. So we're all talking about Atletico and we are working it backwards, and it probably is the way it will work to some degree. But we've got to go out. What's the best team we can put on the pitch that does the job to Bournemouth?
If you take the mentality of take each game as it comes, you basically just want to go out and batter Bournemouth, don't you? Forget about everything else. The best thing that could happen to us at the moment is for us to batter Bournemouth.
Cheers and for all that money you've given us over the years. Here's a 6-0 defeat.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely splendid. So I don't know. But this is the point. This is the question I'm asking. I don't know whether do you need Fabinho at home? Because if we're saying he needs to play because we need to get him up to speed for Atletico,
But if it makes it harder against Bournemouth...
I'm not sure I've... I agree with the... You don't need Fabinho at home because when he played at the start of the season, we won every fucking game at home.
Yeah.
And consistently over the last 2 years, we've won pretty much every fucking game at home. And that didn't happen prior to Fabinho being there. So I actually say, you know what?
Yeah.
Look at the results. Fabinho plays and we win games. In fact, he's lost one in his entire Premier League career, hasn't he, at Watford? Because I don't think he'd lost when he started games or anything, has he?
He came off the bench against City last season.
So, when he plays, we win, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So, you do need him.
Yeah.
You need him in every frigging game. Yeah, he's a dead good player.
You just need to get him up to speed.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting. Is there anyone, any other interesting shouts? Or does the team pretty much pick itself?
I don't know whether this will happen, but I've got a feeling Salah might start up top in this game.
Yeah.
Because I think...
We have used him against Bournemouth up front. Yeah,
exactly.
Well.
And whenever he seems to go through a poor period, Klopp just wants to get him a goal. And he just throws him really high up and tries to get him to get a few goals. And he's not going through a poor period. I think he scored 6 in the last 10 games or something.
Yeah, but he's just not that far off the golden boot again, is he?
Yeah,
he's
I just have a sneaky suspicion that he might start Salah. I don't know what that means to the rest of the side, Paul.
Well, it's 4-2-3-1.
I just want him to play our strongest side
and
win the game.
Chris makes suggestion that leads to 4-2-3-1.
You said it, not me, mate.
No, it was mentioned off camera before. It's a game where if you're going to 4-2-3-1, you wouldn't mind dropping a Shaqiri in on the right-hand side for this one, and then you can put Mane, keep Mane, left or Firmino in the 10.
It would be Ox on the right, though, wouldn't it?
It could be Ox on the right. It could be
Ox on the left, Mane on the right.
After
the midweek.
Or you could see Kate. You know, if Kate is there, he could be in there somewhere. You mentioned it before. I wouldn't be against seeing Minamino in the 9 or the 10.
You know what? I want to see Bobby, Mane and Salah up top, the three of them, because they're
normal
brilliant
positions.
Just get out there, give them their heads.
I'll be honest, it's kind of what I'm thinking. I actually think it's possible, but it might just be a case of Firmino starts left. And you know,
I think if you're going to change formations and stuff, you're better doing it against Atleti because you want to confuse them as much as possible.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance Milner might get the game at left back, depending whether they feel he's there. Maybe you give him 60 minutes at left back just to get him ready and give Robertson a little bit of time off or whatever. Yeah, that's an outside shout. Other than that, I think the back five is going to pick itself. I think two of the three midfielders will pick itself, and I think the front three will pick itself. And then it's just who's fittest, who do we want for Atletico in that position?
Any shout of Matip starting?
No.
I mean, I obviously would prefer Joe Gomez, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does rotate and put Matip in for this game. Obviously, Gomez was left out as a precaution in the last game, and if we're looking ahead to Madrid, then I can see him putting Matip in.
The reason I wouldn't do that, and I don't think Klopp will do it, is because we've conceded too many goals recently, and I think he'll just want to get back to that back five as it is, and try and just keep it tight and give them a little bit of confidence again. Yeah. And the only other thing that I don't think we've spoken about yet is Mane played against Chelsea from the front three, and I just wonder whether he might sit this one out and the other two play.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, actually. And then, so what, I mean, with Origi playing, does that mean Ox then in the front three on the
or
left?
Or Minamino, I don't know. I just like to throw grenades around.
No, but I think based on that logic, I think the obvious thing is then the midfield becomes, Ox plays left, Mane goes to the bench, so it's Ox, Firmino, Salah up front, and then you're left with the choice then of, is Keita fit, or is it Keita, Lallana, or...
Milner, maybe.
Let's just get our best team out there and beat them. That's it.
I'm happy for that. But what is the best team? Let us know in the comments section underneath. Jack, do you want to give us a score prediction?
I'm going 5-0, Paul.
Okay.
Good.
I am.
Yeah. I'm optimistic about this game. I think, you know what? My Liverpool are going to go, let's smash these. Let's go into Atleti. Everyone high on pride, on needing 9 points to win the league, on let's get this Champions League as well. Good atmosphere at Anfield. Let's go and smash him.
Yeah. Dad, what for you?
Oh, I'm done now. 3-0.
So I said this morning when we were sat around the table discussing today and yesterday that I think it's going to be 5-1. I'm now starting to think we're just going to win this 1-2-1.
Wow. I'm in on the 3-0 shout. I think it's one of those games where we will batter them, but probably not. The scoreline might not quite reflect it, but we should. This, you know, I think if you want to set yourself up for the rest of the season, coming off the back of a really disappointing period and going and just laying a big marker down.
It would be great if the team came out with that sort of attitude. We want to put that all behind us now. We just want to show people what we're like. But Klopp will say it's unimportant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happened last week. You just go and do it.
I've just noticed on here Dom Solanke 0 goals in 23.
Why would you say it?
And
so
and
close
now,
to the end.
Now I'm
nearly
thinking,
why?
Now I'm thinking 5-1.
Let him have it. Let him have his moments in front of the cop at the end.
I also want to say though, I think Firmino,
I'm coming for you if he scores.
I think Firmino's first goal at Anfield this season will be against Atleti, you know.
There's a shout and a half, right? I might not come for you. Should we just kill the Atleti game?
I don't. Is it a temptation to not bother doing the Atleti build-up because we've pretty much done it in the show?
Do it every day, mate.
I'll take a 3-0 for the Reds as well in that one. But yeah, other than that, let us know your score predictions and preferred 11s in the comments section.
That's a great shout for me. You know, scoring his first goal at home, isn't it?
Yeah. I need to see a bonkers celebration in front of the cop again. So.
Oh yeah.
Is it a no look?
A no look celebration. No look from 30 yards.
No look from 30 yards. Well, like that thing into the basketball.
Yeah. On the volley from a corner, taken quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm here for all of that. Brilliant. Interaction in the comment section underneath. Make sure you subscribe to the channel as well, and we'll be back post match. We'll see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.